the answers or the antidote to failure. The answers or the antidote to failure. The answers or the antidotes to failure. Answers or antidotes to failure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, welcome everyone joining us on ground, and then especially all the ones joining us online. Praise the Lord. All everybody joining us from Ilorin, from London, from Glasgow, from Abuja. We celebrate you. The Lord bless you. The Lord strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, the antidotes to failure. The antidotes to failure, or the answers to failure. A statistic was carried out, and it has been found to be truth, to be the truth. And what is that statistic? They said if you take sample of 100 men, 100 young men at the age of 25, you pick 100 of them, 100 of them at the age of 25, pick them randomly. It has been a statistic, it has been an experiment that has been carried out anywhere in the world. You just gather them, 100 of them, and then you write down that date that you meet them, the day they were 25 years old. Now, go back and look at them at the age of 65. Now, you will discover certain things would happen to them. Number one, one of them will have been extremely successful. One will be what? Extremely, extremely successful. One out of the 100. Now, four of them will be financially free. They will be comfortable in life, but not as rich as that one. Are you following me now? That means five of them. Now, five of them will still be working to make ends meet. Are you following me now? Now, 54 of them will be broke, very broke. Hallelujah. 54. Now, the remaining, how many of them now are remaining? That's, sir, 36 of them. Out of the 36 of them, some will be dead. Out of the 36 of them, some of them will have returned back to their villages, doing menial jobs. Are you following me? And some of them will be extremely sick. In other words, only 5% will be successful. And take it or leave it, if you check the statistics of the people that are very wealthy and successful in life, there are just 5% of them. And then it is said that the remaining 95% is serving the 5%. Now that's critical. Very, very critical. Now I don't know your age this morning, and I don't care what your age is, but you know what? I want you to be able to move from where you are to where you needed to be. And I'm going to be explaining the concept to you. We're going to be discussing the concept of failure and the concept of success. But I'm not going to dwell much on success, on failure. I will dwell much on success. And I'm going to be showing you, by the Spirit of God, the principles that distinguishes a man and makes him successful. Now, so that the ones you learn, you begin to engage them effectively from today. And you will discover that success is predictable. Failure is predictable. Hallelujah. Success is what? Predictable. Failure is what? Predictable. You know, we like to say certain things about God. For example, we say God is a mysterious God. Hallelujah. Do you like that? Have you heard it before? Yes. God is a mysterious God. God is the God that hideth himself. You know, we just finished a program talking about knowing God. Hallelujah. And now you will discover that God is hiding himself, or God operates in mysteries, doesn't mean that God does not want us to know. Now that's the sad part. The good thing is this. Many people just feel, because we have just, you know, especially if you are a Yoruba man, where you come from, where I came from. Hallelujah. We say God is awamaridi. Do you know the meaning of awamaridi? When we want to really, really praise God in our dialect, how do you praise him? Awamaridi leledumare. His ways are past finding out. You cannot discode him. Hallelujah. But now the question is this. That is just an aspect of God. The main aspect of God is the part of revelation. Is the part that he wants you to know. He wants you to know. He wants me to know. As a matter of fact, God takes more delight in us knowing him than we could ever wish. He wants you to know. If you say God is unpredictable, you lie. You are not saying the complete truth. That's the danger. So don't write in secrecy and think, ah, well, you can't really know God, you can't find out, you can't know anything about Him. That will be a danger. Hallelujah. Now, why is success predictable? Why is failure predictable? Very simple. Because everything on earth is guided by laws and principles. Laws and principles are the things that guide everything that God has made. Laws and what? Principles. That's why you can't say God is just our marriage. He's just a God that you cannot find out. Why? That is why He created principles. And He created those principles to guide every one of His creations. Can you imagine? You enter a plane and they say, God is our marriage. You say, where are you going? And the pilot just announced to you that, well, we are entering the plane. We'll be taking off. Actually, we want to go to London. But we are not sure whether we will arrive in London or not. Now, if you are inside that kind of a plane, will you still travel? Eh? You will still go. You said, okay, no problem. And the pilot just said, just start praying. You are a prayer warrior. And the pilot just said, now that you have entered the plane, as we begin to taxi now, just start praying that God will help us, that we will arrive in London. Is that the way it is? Hallelujah. When you sit down inside the plane, the pilot begins to announce, we are going to London, we are going to be flying at so-so altitude, we are going to be going so-so direction, we expect, this is the time, this is the local time, hallelujah, and when we get to London, we arrive at so-so time. We expect to arrive at so-so time in London. That's the local time in London. They announce, they tell you. Is that our marriage? Why was the pilot, or why is the pilot so bold to tell you that? Why? Praise the Lord. The first time I went to London, I went with Emirates. And when we were going, you know, there is a screen where you can watch movies and all that. But on that same screen, you can actually check to find out where you are. So when I kept checking, when we were on the Sahara Desert, you know, I saw, oh, we're on Sahara Desert. Wow. You know, it will show you the picture of what is going on. You see the real desert. If I was spent, when we get to different countries, it will show you. It will show you the current time at that country where you are presently. It shows you the current temperature. Then when we finally got to London, when we got to Dubai, the same thing when we landed and all that. Then when we got to London, it shows you that you are now in London. Even though we have not landed, it shows us the current temperature, it shows us everything. You understand that kind of a thing? There is no awamaridi there. But why is it possible for a mortal man to say, I sit down inside this plane, I'm taking you to London and you will arrive in London, and you actually arrive in London? Why? Because he understands laws and principles. Your life should not be lived on chances. Your life should be lived on principles. You should understand the principles that makes life. You can't live your life on chances. But you know, the unfortunate thing is that many people live their life on chances. Whether it will happen or it will not happen, there is no problem. If we get there, fine. You know, the ways of God are past finding out. Hallelujah. Everything is guided by laws. And now, this is the interesting thing. I have traveled, and sometimes when I travel in those planes, I discover some things. Some of those pilots are white. Some of them are what? Pakistani, like Indians. They even put on turban. Some of them are blacks. Some of them even are Yoruba people. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of them will still fly and take us to our destination. What does that mean? It simply means the laws of success are not color dependent. Hallelujah. So it simply means anyone that sits on that craft, that obeys the laws of the aircraft, will take you to your destination. It simply means that principles and laws in the kingdom are not dependent on your ethnicity. They don't respect it. They don't respect your color. They don't respect your race. They don't respect your language. They only respect what? Obedience to the laws. So when you obey those laws, they get you safely to where you are going. It doesn't matter who you are. Hallelujah. So once you respect the laws respects you and obeys you. Praise the Lord. So that's why we have to look at this concept and this laws. Now, what is success? And I will leave you to always define failure. But let me tell you what success is. What is success? Jeremiah 29 verse 11 gave us a clear description of what success is all about. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. I believe it's a scripture we can all quote offhand.
Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is El Shaddai, Jehovah himself, the Trinity combined. Now, it says, "Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is success? Success is your ability to progressively move towards an expected end. Success is what? Empowerment, grace to move progressively towards what? An expected end. So success is a progressive fulfillment and completion of the original purpose of God. Why God created you? When you were coming to earth, there is a purpose. God had an agenda. Hallelujah. And that's why I always joke that why were you not born in 1946? Where were you not born in 1920? As a matter of fact, where were you not one of the disciples of Jesus Christ? Because there was no purpose for you then. No. You were born at the right time, for the right generation, in the right generation to do the right thing. There is an expected end. So success is your ability to arrive at that expected end. That is success. So there is an expected end. There is something God wants to achieve. He now releases you. So the thing is this. For you to now move progressively to that expected end and get there is what is called success. Let me give you another definition of success. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy, divinely orchestrated goal. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy, divinely orchestrated goal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you have that? Praise the Lord. So now, when you now say, what is failure? You know, it's very simple to define failure now. Eh? Failure is what? Failure is your inability to arrive at an expected end. Is what? Your inability to arrive at the expected end that God has set. Now, that's all. That's failure. Now, so it interests you to know that you can see so many people. You know, somebody jokingly said something. He said, for some people, when they arrive in heaven, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He said, when some people arrive in heaven, when I say, ah, God, I did exploits on earth. My name is Dr. So-so-so-so-so-so-and-so. And the angel will say, sir, the only record like that on our list is Apostle So-so-so-and-so. Ah. And I say, no. And I say, do you understand? But I did this. I did exploits. It simply means it's possible for a man to arrive at an end that is not his end. It's possible for a man to arrive at an end that God knows nothing about. It's possible for a man to arrive at a destination that is wrong. Even though the whole earth, the whole world might clap for him, might applaud him. But as far as it is not the end that God has in mind, that man or woman has failed. Are you following me this morning? Praise the Lord. What is success? So now then, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, shows us certain things. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way." Now take note of this word. "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now look at it. The Bible says this book of the law. What is the book of the law? These principles that I've given unto you must not depart out of your mouth, must not depart out of your life. Hallelujah. You are welcome all the way from Abuja. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The Bible says, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Now, I want you to understand one concept this morning. It said, then, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, look at it. It started with God, but God removed himself from the equation. Do you understand that scripture? That scripture started with God. He said, what I need to do is what I have done. I have written the book of the law. I have given you all the principles for success. He said, then I gave it to you. He said, now it is your responsibility to study it. It is your responsibility to obey the laws. It is your responsibility to obey the principles. And when you have done that, you will be successful. He removed himself from the equation. It simply means your success or your failure, my success or my failure, is in our hands. No longer in the hands of God. Does that make sense? It is no longer in his hands. Everything he needed to do, he has done it. Okay, maybe you don't believe that scripture. Let me show you another scripture. Matthew chapter 16 verse 19. You know, when we get to heaven, many people will blame God. So say, this, and God will say, did you read your Bible? You say, no, sir, it's because that person, you know, it's because that person has more opportunities than me. It's because that person did better. You know, God will say, did you read your Bible? And you say, I read it. He said, okay, let's open the Bible. You know, that day, everybody will have the opportunity to talk with him. We will talk to him, not in condemnation. Do you understand? But finding out a result of what we have done. You will ask questions. When I say, read Joshua, and they will now open this Joshua. God will now say, do you understand that scripture at all? Say, I understand. He said, what did I say there? Saying, this book of the law shall not depart. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Oh. Shall not depart out of your mouth. He said, is it out of God's mouth? He said, no. Okay. Say, it's not out of my mouth. Okay. He said, then who will make his way prosperous? He said, thou. He said, who is thou? He said, who is thou? He said, thou shall make. This is not third person singular. Who will make? He said, okay, I will make my way prosperous. And I will have good success. Say, where is God written there? Actually, it's not. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? Hey, yeah. I'm coming back. And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? God removed himself out of the equation again. Jesus said this. If you have a blue letter Bible like my own, you will see it is written in red. Right? What did God do again? He removed himself from the equation. From today. As a matter of fact, heaven is either open above a man or locked above him. Because the key is in the hand of the man. Hey, I believe somebody is understanding me this morning. Hallelujah. So that means you have the ability to lock heaven, and you have the ability to open heaven. So if you say you are operating under heaven that is open, you opened it. If you operate under an heaven that is closed, you closed it. Can you imagine? As soon as I'm going out and I lock the door for my house and I gave the key, for instance, I give it to Inka. I say, Inka, take the keys, and I give it to him. Then I leave. Praise the Lord. When I'm coming back, how will I enter? By calling him, right? Because the keys are with him. So you know, there are so many things we blame God that God doesn't know anything about. He doesn't. He doesn't know anything about what we're talking about. So we have the power to open heaven. We have the power to shut the heaven above us. He removed himself out of what? The equation. So success, I submit to you this morning as a lawyer, that therefore, success is not up to God. Success is up to you and I. So if a man fails, it's his fault. If a man succeeds, it's his fault. Does that make sense this morning? So I said, I'm not talking much about failure. It's very simple to fail. Just don't obey the laws of success. So let's concentrate now on the laws of success. What are the laws of success? Number one, I call it the law of divine direction. That's where it starts from. The law of divine direction. direction. That's law number one. Don't worry, I have maybe close to 60 of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let's see if we can take two today or thereabout. The law of what? Divine direction. The law of divine direction. The law of divine direction. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. The Bible says, "And thy ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, or when ye turn to the left." It is called the law of what? Divine direction. Now, the starting point of every success is knowing where to end. Now, that's critical. The starting point of every what? Of every success is knowing where to end. Where do you want to get to in life? I was listening to a statistics in the course of the week, and the man said something that is very... The man is a Nobel laureate winner. He's late now. He said something very interesting. You know what he said? He said, they asked 20 men why they wake up and go to work every morning. If I ask you the same question, I'm very, very sure we are going to have the same answers. And he said 19 of them said, that is what everybody do. You wake up. You understand? That is what everybody do what? That's what everybody do. Isn't it? Everybody wakes up in the morning and go to work. Everybody that is reasonable, everybody that is responsible, wakes up in the morning and go to work. He said one of them said he is working so that he can achieve a particular purpose. And they asked him, what is the purpose? And he said he wants to work so that he will be able to save so amount of money. And after that, he wants to build an orphanage. And after that, he wants to do this. He wants to do this. By the age of this, he wants to have achieved this. By the age of this, he wants to have achieved this. He said, that's the only person that has a clear-cut plan. Every other person go to work because they should eat and provide shelter. And that is all. That's how, that's tending towards failure. There is a purpose. There is a reason. There is something God wants to achieve with your life. Now, if you start up on that road without knowing it, you will arrive at a wrong destination. Have you seen this? Have you heard the story of the man that was climbing a wall? He went and gathered people in his community because the wall he wanted to climb is very, very high. So they were trying to help him. The ladder is very, very long. So he couldn't carry it alone. So he brought everybody in his house and they all joined forces and helped him to lift the ladder. And they placed the ladder against the wall. And he started climbing. And he started climbing. And everybody was waiting for him. And eventually he climbed and got to the top of the building. And discovered that he has arrived at a wrong building. That the building he climbed was a wrong one. Can you imagine? He labored. He climbed. He got to the top. But it was a wrong building. His ladder was leaning against what? A wrong building. Now, before you start up, your vision and direction must be set. And that's why I was using the example of the airplane. The pilot already know where they are going. So there is nothing. It is not gambling. The road will be rough. No problem. Hallelujah. The last time I went to London when we arrived, the weather was very bad. So they said the airplane cannot land. So you won't believe it, we were hovering around London for about 40 minutes before we could eventually land. Come and see prayers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come and do what? Hear prayers in all manner of tongues. Hallelujah. That's the way I know that Indians too, they know how to pray. Praise all manner of prayers. But I was calm because I know where I'm going. It's not, you are not gambling. You already know. It is called the law of divine direction. Where is your expected end? Now, once direction is set, every other thing begins to fall in place. Once direction is set, every other thing must fall in place. But once direction is wrong, it doesn't matter how fast you run. It doesn't matter how fast you move. You cannot arrive at the expected end. So where is your expected end. Why do I need divine direction? Let me give you two, three reasons. Number one, why do I need divine direction? So that you will not go in the wrong direction. Now, to success, something is very critical. It is called direction. Direction is critical to success. Direction is critical to success. Where are you going? Praise the Lord. That Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21, it says, "And thy ear shall hear a word, saying, this is the way." He said, in case you mistakenly go to the right, he will come and tell you, no, this is wrong, this is the way. If you mistakenly branch to the left, he will come and tell you, this is wrong, this is the way. Until you have that at every moment of your life, you will end up in a wrong place. So in order not to end up in a wrong place, divine direction is critical. Number two, God alone has the power to establish your plan. He's the one that has the power and the ability to do what? To establish your plan and my plan. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, many people want to achieve certain things that God doesn't have hand in. God doesn't have a hand in what they are doing, but they want to achieve it. And they are laboring, struggling, that no, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm going. Hallelujah. If I send a man, maybe I'm asking D now, to go to Boso for me, and I give him 200 naira, just take a bike and go to Boso and go and do so thing. Then he goes to Boso, and then he comes back from Boso, and says, sir, you are owing me money. Hallelujah. And I say, owing you money? How? And I say, I spend 1,000 naira on transportation. 1,000 naira on transportation. How? He said, that's what I spent. I said, why did you spend 1,000 naira? He said, I went to, it's where you sent. I said, where did, what happened? He said, actually, when I got to Top Medical Junction, and I saw one of my friends like that, the guy now said, he actually wants to go to Paiko. And I said, okay, let's quickly get to Paiko. So when we get to Paiko, then before I will now go to Boso. So I went to Paiko with him. You know, so when we got to Paiko, we quickly did what he wanted to do. Then we now went to Boso. Now, if you are in my shoes, what will you do? Will you balance him with 100 naira? Why? You didn't send him. The reason why many people are in debt, the reason why people have many problems in life, is because anything God doesn't support, he doesn't sponsor. Do you understand? Whatever he doesn't support, he doesn't sponsor. If he doesn't send you, he won't sponsor you. But if he sends you, he will sponsor you. If it means sponsoring you with his blood, he will do it. Everything that he needs to do, he will do for you because he sent you. John chapter 15 verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen, he said, for without me, ye can do nothing. So why not travel the journey with him? Why not begin it with him? The reason why many people end up as failures is because they have undertaken a venture that they cannot pay for. And number three, we wait for divine direction so that we will not walk in vain. So that we will not what? Walk in vain. Psalm 127 verse 1. I read from the Good News. Psalm 127 verse 1. It said, if the Lord does not build a house, the work of the builders is useless. It's King James that says, if the Lord doesn't build a house, the laborers do what? They labor in vain. Hallelujah. How do I get divine direction? You already know that. I'm not going to spend time too much there. But how do I get divine direction? Of course, prayer, fasting, waiting upon the Lord. go to the place of prayer. Until he clarifies it, don't start. Don't. Until you are sure his hand is in it, don't. But you know, many times we do things, and at the end of the day, we now wonder, where was God in all these things? Did you consult him? Once things are becoming difficult and dangerous along the road, know that, did you ask him before you started? Now that's critical. Praise the Lord. And then you listen for clarity before you begin. Praise the Lord. Number two, the law of the mind. I'm not going to spend too much time here. It's called what? The law of what? Of the mind. The law of the mind. In the course of the week, I ministered somewhere. That was Monday, Tuesday. And I spoke along this line. But you know so much about the mind. But let me just say something. Let me just make one or two statements. And then I'll give you an assignment along this line. Praise the Lord. It's called the law of the mind. Philemon 14. Philemon 14. You know, the day I saw this scripture, my life changed. Philemon is just one chapter. 14. I'll read the first sentence there. It says, but without your mind, would I do nothing? He said, without your mind, without your sense, without your soul, God says he will not do anything. That man that I said was a Nobel laureate that died, they asked him, they said, sir, what do you think is the problem of men this day? He said, I discovered that men just have one problem. And they said, what is that problem? He said, men do not think. Men do not what? They don't think. Now, the quality of your mind determines the quality of the information the Holy Spirit can release to you. If your mind cannot take it, if your mind cannot assimilate it, you cannot undo it in your hand. Anything I take in my spirit, I get it in my hand. It's a principle. It's a law. Some people's minds are so small, and that's why their life is so small and little. But without thy mind, would I do nothing? Did he say, will I do some things? Did he say, will I do few things? How many things will he not do? Everything. Hallelujah. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy mind prospereth. So even the quality of your health and the quality of your life and the quality of your pocket is dependent on the quality of your mind. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, abundantly above all that we ask or think. He didn't say all that we ask and think. He said ask or think. Ask or think. That simply means your thought is directly proportional to what? Your prayers. So when your thought is wrong, your prayers will be wrong. God is not just listening to your verbal words. He's also listening to what? Your inner thoughts. Now that's critical. I've told you about the principle of the conscious and the subconscious mind. So I'm not going to talk so much about conscious and subconscious mind this morning. So you should develop a capacity in your mind to undo big things. If not, your life will be small. It's a law. It's a principle. You were listening to one man. I'm sure some of us must have read his story. Is currently the Attorney General or the Minister of Justice for Canada. The man is an Igbo man from Nigeria. I'm sure you heard of him. He's what? An Igbo man from Nigeria. He is currently the Minister of Justice of Canada. How do they get there? How did he rise in a foreign land to become a Joseph? It's the quality of his mind. He could take it. He could undo it. The Holy Spirit could walk with his mind.
so that he can correctly interpret the signals from heaven. Why didn't God tell Aaron, to write the law, the Ten Commandments? His mind cannot comprehend. So is it good to go to school? Yes. Now let me give you a principle, and I give you as an assignment, because where I ministered, I gave them as an assignment, and I was glad when they started doing it. Praise the Lord. And that's the principle of expanding and enlarging your mind. Now what's that principle? Numbers chapter 13 verse 1 and 2. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1. I read them quickly. Numbers chapter 13 verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Moses, the Lord said to Olamide, the Lord said to ICG this morning, choose one of the leaders from each of the 12 tribes. Thank God we are different tribes here. Hallelujah. So choose. He said one. And I believe you will be the one this morning. Hallelujah. He said, and send them as spies. I'm reading from the Good News. Send them as spies to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Israel or to the Israelites. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1. Then Joshua sent two spies from the camp of Acacia with orders to go and secretly explore the land of Canaan, especially the city of Jericho. When they came to the city, they went to spend the night and all that with a prostitute named Rahab. You know the rest of the story. Now, this is the principle of mind expansion. It is called the principle of spying Canaan. The principle of what? Spying Canaan. You can never have in your hand what you have not seen in your heart. You can't handle it. Until you are able to handle it in your heart, you can't handle it in your hand. I attended a training, and I'm still in that training now. And my trainer is a very ruthless man. Praise the Lord. And in the course of the week, he gave us an assignment. And you know, that training is so terrible because it's very ruthless. They give us assignment every week. So, and if you fail and you don't do the assignment, you will pay him. Every week you fail to do your assignment, you pay 10,000 naira. So you would rather prefer to do what? To do the assignment. Praise the Lord. Now let me share the assignment with you, because I want you to also do it, so that you pay me 10,000 next week if you don't do it. Hallelujah. And you must come back with evidence. Now the assignment is very simple. He said, you want to break the limiting beliefs in your heart. You want to break it. Go and attempt something you have never attempted before. Things you have never attempted before, go and attempt it. And then he gave us options. Because the first option was what he personally did. He said, after Sunday service, every Sunday, he attends House of the Rock in Lagos. He said, after every Sunday service, himself and the wife, they go to a restaurant to eat. After every Sunday service, they'll go to that restaurant, they will eat. So he said, one day, the wife just told him, this one, I said, why are we always coming to Mr. Biggs? sorry, Mr. Biggs. I didn't want to mention you because I'm on here now. Hallelujah. He said, why are we always coming? The wife, I said, why don't we go to places like a co-hotel, you know, all these 5-star, Sheraton. He said, he just kept on eating. He just kept on eating. The wife said, you are not listening to me now. He said, yeah, you are not listening to me. He said, all of a sudden, he just shouted, shut up, my woman. Inside publicly. Shut up, woman. Don't you know our pockets? He said the wife was shocked. He said he looked at everybody's eyes were on him. He said he felt so ashamed of himself and embarrassed. He said the wife was angry. He said so they left. Then when they talked to him, he said so the following day he just talked to himself. Or Oloberi he saw. Now what did this woman talk? He said, okay, let me even go to one of these restaurants and go and check what they do there. So he said he took his car. He went to withdraw money from ATM. He said just withdraw about 20,000 naira, and then he went there. So when he got there, he said it was just parabolic because he didn't want people there to feel that he's coming for the first time. Eventually, when he got lost severally, he now asked, where is the restaurant? They now took him to the restaurant. The restaurant was on the last floor. It was a penthouse that oversees the sea. He said the sound and the breeze of the sea was just coming to him. He said, wow.
He said, so they gave him the menu. When he checked the menu, he said, first of all, his eyes went to, he said, look, let me look for rice. He saw rice. He just saw rice, jollof rice. So he quickly checked. It was 30,000 naira. Yeah? He said, are these people, are they sick? He looked right. He said, he told himself, he said, boy, you go wash plate here. Hallelujah. He said, boy, you will do what? You will wash plates. Who send you work? He said, so he started buying from the right side of the menu. You know the meaning. You know how you start buying from the right side. You know the right side. You don't even care the type of food. You are looking at the list, the cost. So he said, he went down. So he said, he checked. The cheapest thing there was a glass of water. 500 naira. He said, okay, no problem. He said, what's the next good thing that is there? He said, he checked it. It was Coke. He just saw Coke. There, glass of Coke. I just said, okay. He checked. 1,500 naira. He said, now to him, he's already here now. No problem. He now called the waiter. He said, I just want a glass of Coke. And the man said, okay, no problem. And the man went and brought a bottle of Coke. And then he brought a cup, put ice inside it, served him. And the man just poured a little inside it. And the man was going with the remaining. He said he was looking at it. He said, you know, called the man like a dog. He said he has forgotten where he was. And the waiter looked at him and said, excuse me? And he said, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the man said, okay, no problem. Was it? He said, and the order, because he said he calculated it at home. A whole crate of Coke is maybe 980 naira. Hallelujah. You are laughing, but you understand what is happening to your mind. He said, you don't get it. He said, you are going away with it. He said, the waiter now said, is this your first time here? Actually, he said, okay, check the list now. In the list, they said a glass of Coke. They didn't say a bottle of Coke. But he just sat down. He said, okay, no problem. The man said, but if you don't mind, I can drop it. He said, no, go, you can go with it. You know, that kind of a thing. So the man went with it. He said, as he took the cup of Coke, he said, he told himself, I deserve this. What have you been looking at that has beclouded your future? The Lord knows that if these people don't go to spy Canaan, they won't be able to comprehend it. Their mind can't take it. It can't. And Moses gave them specific instruction. Come back with the fruit from the land. So when the man came back from the fruit, with the fruit, when they came back with the fruit of the land, and they showed the people, Caleb said, we can take the land. Let's go up at once and take it. He said, it's a good land. It's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land such as we have never seen before. We have seen Egypt, but where God says we are going is better than Egypt. Can you imagine? And the man gave us assignment. That's the assignment. Now, two things. Go to, where is the best restaurant in Mina? You don't know. Esther, which Esther? Chicken Republic. Go to Chicken Republic. Buy a bucket of chicken. It's just 4,005. Don't kill yourself. Buy a bucket. Then sit down there. Just take one and look around. You know, that man said the following Sunday, he didn't tell his wife that he went there. So he said the following Sunday, they went back to their regular restaurant. He said when they got back to the regular restaurant, he said he looked around. And then for the first time, he noticed that the ceiling is dirty. He said he discovered the cup was not very fine. He discovered that the waiters are not properly dressed. He discovered that the plates that they used in serving them is dirty. That's the difference. Where do you want to go? Go and spy it. Do you understand? Or enter the Chicken Republic. Don't even buy anything. Just snap. Do selfie there. Ask for their menu. Then leave. Do you understand? Because that is what some people eat in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening. That's the way they eat at home. If you don't see it, you can't take it. They give us a second assignment. Go to where they sell cars. Go and look for the most expensive cars there. And drive it. And I did my own. When I did my own during the course of the week, I went with King David. So I snapped pictures. So I can show you if you want to see it. Go and do what? Spy your Canaan. You know, when I sat on the seat of the Camry, was it 2018? 2017? Camry. Oh my God. I just told myself to. I said, I deserve it. Ah! Hallelujah. Look at the buttons. Look at the setting. There is cow. Go and spy your Canaan. It is critical. It is important. And you know what shocked me? They don't charge you for checking it. They don't even ask for your bank alert before they say you should enter the car. It's free. I didn't know. But you know, our mind has been so bastardized. You understand? That you just think everything is about money. No. They didn't charge them to go and spy Canaan. They won't charge you for doing what? For spying your own Canaan. Go there. One day, travel to Abuja. Just go to the airport and move around. They won't charge you. Go to where they are selling tickets. Ask them, how much is Lagos? They tell you, it's 35,000 naira. This is, are you traveling now? It's 50,000. If you want to travel now, you said, okay, no problem. I'm coming back. And then you go back, come back to me now. You have been to the airport before. What's your one here? That, do you understand what I'm saying? Break the limit. Tell your neighbor, break the limit. This week. Break the limit. Are you following me? Are you learning this morning? Don't let anything cage you. What you cannot spy and see, you cannot take. You can't. Because when they mentioned it, it will look so big. There's something myself, I was discussing with my wife yesterday, and we were just talking. And you know, she was just listening to me, and I was just telling her. You know, she was just wondering, how come I want to take this step? And I told her, I said, I discovered it was a limit on my mind, and I've broken it, so I can take this step now. It's broken. It can't hold me again. It can't hold me back. You know, I might not achieve it today. I might not achieve it tomorrow, but I will achieve it. It's no longer looking beyond me. Whatever is looking beyond you, go and spy it. Go to Mega House. Go and look at all the clothes that are there. They tell you this one is 50,000 and I have no problem. Say, I'm coming back. They won't charge you. Go to Jonapa. Go to Bomas. Look at where they sell all manner of assorted things. Go to, ask them, where is your jewelry section? Women. They tell you, they show you gold. They say, this one is 190,000 naira. You said, okay. I'll come back. Hallelujah. Break the limit. Do what? Break the limit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You check my status, there is a particular BMW that is there now. Oh. Hallelujah. It's 2020 BMW X what? X5. Do you understand? Oh. Do what? What's that song? Let it rain. Break the limit. Or you go and look at Bobby Law's car. She says, you want a car that carry tire. Praise the Lord. But what is your expected end? You know, those ones are just additions because they will follow you. But what exactly? Once direction is set, all those jara will be added. But if you don't see it, you can't have it. Let me treat one more law. The law of value. 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 Acts chapter 15. I read from verse 37. Acts chapter 15 from verse 37. Acts 15 from verse 37. The Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them.
who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them, and they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now listen carefully. Paul and Barnabas, they were a tag team. They have gone on the first missionary journey. And you know, one of the journeys, they took a man called John Mark. John Mark happened to be a nephew to Barnabas. So when the guy gave them a lot of problem on the way, you know the way they live. Anywhere they get to, they sleep. They sleep on in the canoe, they sleep in the open air, they sleep anywhere. This guy complains. When they are fasting, we ask for food. You understand? The guy couldn't just, he was giving them problems. So when they were now going again, Paul said, "Bros, this, your boy, is not going to follow us." "Ah, no, no, no." Barnabas said, no. "He will follow us. Let him go with us. He will learn." That was just his first time. Paul said, "Sam, he will not." So the Bible says they began to argue. They fought. Paul and Barnabas. And one only prophet. Born again. They fought because of one man. So they departed. They scatter. The party scatter. So Barnabas went his way. Hallelujah. He went his way with John Mark. What happened? The other guy, Paul, went with Silas. That was the end though. So they went their separate ways. Because he felt Mark would be a problem on the road. But now, couple of years later, something interesting happened in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Yeah, several years later, almost 20-something years after, look at what happened. The Bible says Paul was speaking. Paul said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Can you imagine? He separated from his best friend because of Mark. Now, years later, he told them, he said, "I need John Mark because he is now profitable to me." What has happened between the Mark of then and the Mark of now? That Mark has transformed. That Mark has accumulated what is called value. That Mark has grown up. That Mark is now a man. That man, Mark, is now a man that can contribute positively to the ministry of Paul. Paul says he has become what? Profitable. Now that's the third law. The law of value. The reason why people are not looking for you is because you are not valuable enough. The reason why anybody will look for you is because of the value they can get from you. Forget this. That, look, this. They just want to use you and dump you. You know why? It is somebody that is useful that they want to use. If you don't have anything you are going to gain in a place, you won't go. It's not emotional. If you don't have anything to offer people, they won't come around you. It is called the law of value. Now, what is your result of becoming valuable? Let me quickly show you the results. Number one, you get what you deserve. When you become valuable, you get what you deserve. The reason why they will pay a consultant better than an ordinary medical doctor that just graduates is what? The value they are bringing to the table. That's all. You finish with A1. You have 9 A1s in WAEC. And somebody finish with second class lower in computer engineering. Are you following me? And the two of you are looking for work. Who will get the work with the higher pay? The graduate. Why? He is more valuable. You have value with your A1, but it's in potential form. So they don't know whether you can translate it
practically. Are you following me? So no one will give to you what you don't want. Matthew chapter 25 verse 15. It says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. That man gave 1 5 talents. He gave another 1 2 talents. He gave 1 1 talent. He said, according to what? According to the value that they have. So the value you are bringing to the table determines what comes to you. Are you following me this morning? Nobody will pay you a premium for something that does not benefit them. Nobody. So that's the first thing you get when you are valuable. Number 2. Mark chapter 1 verse 37. Mark chapter 1 verse 37. It says, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. They told Jesus, everybody is looking for you. When you become valuable, number 2, kings, nobles, and people that matters look for you. Increase your value. If you need to go back to school, go back to school. If you need to perfect the trade in your hand, go back and perfect it. I told you I attended a training, and the young man told us, he said he wants to learn how to sew this thing, suit. So he had to go and pay $200,000 to go and learn it in Italy. Just to go and learn how to do that. Can you imagine? Whatever you are doing, go and learn more. Increase your capacity. Increase your value. And number 3, value is what attracts material gain. When you get home, read the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10, verse 1, verse 10, verse 24, and verse 25. The Bible talks about Solomon. Said he was so wise, all the kings of the earth, they started coming to him. Let me read verse 24. He said, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Verse 25. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, and vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spice, and horses, and mules, a rate year by year, because of the value they can get from Solomon. Now you want to become a billionaire. Do you have value that is worth billions to give out? Do you? Praise the Lord. Give me your phone. There was an experiment I performed where I went to minister. Let me perform the same experiment here. How much did you buy this phone? What's the worth? Sir? 30K. Sit down. Hallelujah. So, Abraham bought this phone for 30K. I'm rounding up now. 30K. Who would like to buy this phone for 100,000? How many years have you used it? He said he has used it for 6 months. I want somebody here to buy it. Can anybody here buy it for 100,000? Okay, I saw just one hand, and that happens to be Edric. Hallelujah. Edric is ready to buy it for 100,000. But do you know, let me finish what I'm saying now. Now, I will not ask you, now tell me how much you are willing to pay, and then I will give it to the highest bidder. Now listen carefully. If I tell you now that this phone has the phone number of the 7 top presidents in the world, and they don't need to know you or hear your voice, as long as the call is made from this phone and you call them, whatever you ask, they will give it to you. And all of them are on speed dial with this phone. How much will you be ready to pay for it? I'll give it to the highest bidder. Huh? When I did that experiment where I went to minister, one woman just told me, he said, sir, people said, somebody said $100,000, yeah, $100,000, $200,000, you know, they started mentioning. One woman just said, I will pay $15 million. I said, okay, madam, you have it. So, going, how much are you going to pay for it? Huh? Anything, how much will you pay for it? Now you know what is in the phone. How much will you be ready to pay for it? Huh? Everybody saying anything? Is that a consensus? How much? Okay, best said 4 billion. Because even if you call, I say you need 4 billion, they will give you. Yes. Do you understand me? Huh? If you can increase your value, your container doesn't matter. They will pay you premium. Does that make sense? Rise up on your feet. Why not talk to God? The Lord, this morning I have heard your word. I will obey the laws of success. Whatever is standing on my way and preventing me, I break it to pieces.